Good morning, everyone, and we warmly welcome you to our Sunday morning roundtable discussion. Thank you for joining us. And today is Sunday, November 11th, 2018, and we will start this morning with our morning prayer.
On page 62 of the Blue Book, may the divine light of Christian Science, which lighteth every enlightened thought, illumine my faith and understanding, exclude all darkness and doubt, signal the perfect faith wherein to walk, the perfect principle whereby to demonstrate the perfect man and perfect law of God.
Thank you.
And then miscellaneous writings, Mary Baker Eddy. We today in this classroom are enough to convert the world if we are of one mind, for then the whole world will feel the influence of this mind. As when the earth was without form, and mind spake, and form appeared. Didn't mention we're recording from the Plainfield Christian Science Church Independence. Glad you're with us. All right, we will start today. Spend a few minutes on the watching point.
Watch number 497. Watch that you measure your growth by God rather than man, by the distance your brethren in Christ have traveled with you, not by the distance you have traveled away from them. Jesus told us that as we are lifted up, we will draw all men unto us. As we rise into the consciousness of eternal harmony, we must feel that we are taking all mankind with us, since divine sonship belongs to all.
Any comments on that?
I thought that was very beautiful.
Yes.
So does that mean that you are personally responsible for everybody else's growth and participation?
You don't need to be personally responsible, but you also can't just like cast a blind eye to it either. You know, we're part of a team. This is our mission.
Yeah, it's a fine line, isn't it, between taking care of your own growth and looking out for others, and yet, or feeling like you have to willfully push everybody else, and, you know, make sure that they do what you think they're supposed to do.
People said that I just read it last night, the other night, that it's better to draw men rather than push them into the kingdom of heaven.
Thank you. Exactly. Exactly. Well, I only say this because, you know, sometimes it's frustrating. I feel frustrated, you know, that there are things that need to be done and people aren't doing them, you know, or there are things that I know are really good for people and I would love to see them do them. And yet, you know, you can't push. You're right.
It's another part of that, too. It's the comparison thing. It says, compare yourself to God, which is consistent with what the day has told us to hold the perfect model and thought, allow that to guide us. Because the tendency is so common to compare yourself with other people, which is a huge mistake. One thing, it makes you feel a little more elevated, self-righteous, and not only that, it's condemning like your brother, neither of which is any good for anyone. So a self-examination that compares yourself with God or the perfect model is a very healthy place to be.
And we can trust them to God and know that they are listening to their father, mother. And we may not know things they're doing on their spiritual path as long as we've done what we can. to share what you know.
Very important, thank you. What I think of is Mrs. Eddy on her porch swing at night, when she would just pray and send out so much love and benediction to all mankind. That's including everyone. It's not just trying to get there yourself. It's sitting there praying, loving everything, all mankind, including frogs, crickets, everything. Everything in God's creation, seeing it with tenderness and love, seeing it in the kingdom of heaven, seeing it already there, embraced in God's love. What did Carpenter say when he would come and say goodnight to Mrs. Eddy after she'd been praying?
He was overwhelmed by the love he felt.
Yes. That's what this watching point means to me. Oh, it isn't a matter of shoving or pushing or just loving and knowing that they're there. And in that prayer that I say each week, when it says that the whole world will feel the influence of this mind, what is that influence? Love is always drawing, magnet. So remember, above all things, to have that love. And if you spend time every day loving God's creation and thanking God for his creation, I think more and more people will be there, and we'll see them there. It's a beautiful picture of Mrs. Eddy. I think about it often, and in our watches, that was her evening watch. Her morning watch, of course, that was handling fear, but the evening watch was sending out flood tides of love. Anyone else?
I think it's also impossible. How could a group of 70 reach the whole world? That would be like the leaven that the woman hid in 3 measures of meal, so the whole lump is leaven. Because you just can't individually reach every person on earth. Would be time wise impossible.
Well, that's right, and I can remember feeling that I used to think I had to do that. Or even as far as missionary work, going out everywhere. Well, our website certainly is missionary work, and it does go out everywhere. But we reach everyone with love and with prayer. That's how we reach everyone.
I like the word infinite here. Where this infinite love leaves no one out. No one is left out.
That's it.
And we never judge.
Well, that's right, too. We don't. Sermon on the Mount. Okay, our subject is Adam and Fallen Man, the Golden Text, Isaiah. Cease ye from man whose breath is in his nostrils, for wherein is he to be accounted for? Any comments on that? I looked up that word accounted. I wrote about this on the forum. It means to be esteemed, considered, regarded, valued. So, how much value and esteem do you give to this so-called mortal man?
That's not who I am.
That's not who you are. That's right. So, the less thought of it, the better. Anyone else? Okay, the responsive reading. Oh, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, Mrs. Roberts just mentioned infinite love, and
I was thinking that Shishi from Man, whose breath is in his nostrils, is just this picture of a material man, and it is just totally limited, totally finite, the opposite of the infinite love that God is and that we are the reflection of. So it shows us a good example there.
Right. And, you know, this picture is always being put in front of your face all the time, everywhere. So you have to take a little effort to make sure you're not getting into that picture of what you are not, Lawrence said. While I'm thinking of it, if any of you have any requests for the choir that sings, they sang last week in church, you know, a little choir of 4 or 5 people, but please let us know. We're going to talk to Faith for various songs that we like. I know some of us have our old favorites, so we can sing them on Sunday. One that just occurred to me was Infinite Heart of Love. It's beautiful. Infinite Heart of Love. So if you have any, please let us know. Okay, shall we, are ye so foolish, having begun in the spirit, ye are now made perfect by the flesh? And Shahida and Shardy both spoke to that. Shahida here? Well, she said her practitioner is always reminding her that you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit, so. And we're not bewitched. Remember, there used to be TV show, bewitched. Not bewitched, we're wide awake. And then, the question Ken had, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Jeremy, you want to?
It was funny because I read it initially and I thought, I'm not really sure what that means. But when he asked the question, I thought, okay, this is a good opportunity to get into it further. And I found it mentioned Deuteronomy 21, verses 22 to 23. And, you know, it says, and if a man hath committed a sin worthy of death, and he be put to death, thou shalt hang him on a tree. His body shall not remain all night upon the tree, but thou shalt in any wise bury him that day. And so I was just thinking about that and what I've learned here. And so I just thought that we need to recognize the error, that sin worthy of death. We have to expose him, hang him up the tree, and then move forward with God, bury him that day. We don't have to feel shame week to week. We just have to let it go and keep moving forward. So that's what I got from that.
Good interpretation. Expose it, let it hang out there, and then get rid of it. Anybody else?
Yeah, because the curse is felt only when you personalize the sin and hang on to it. Don't get rid of it, right? And that is what Christ came to redeem us from. Show us that we don't have to hang on to sin, that it's not part of us. There is a way to be redeemed from the curse.
And how wonderfully different, at least in my life, Christian Science is that it's not, you know, there's not that original sin that you're born with. A lot of religion I was exposed to before, and people I knew were really like under the heel of that and felt that all the time. So it's great to find out for real that that's not true.
Thank you. Yeah, I read a short interpretation of this. Was for as many as are of the works of the law, they are under a curse. And I think that's what it's talking about with Jeremy's. Just said, the works of the law. We're talking about these old theological laws of condemnation and all of that. If you're under that law, it feels like you're cursed. There's guilt, all those things. We had a very thorough conversation on a lot of this yesterday at our Bible study. But all of those things that would try to drag you down, it's all cursed. Everybody's cursed. The Adam dream is cursed, right? It's all cursed. Curse, 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 curse.
So why bother then?
I know.
Exactly.
There's nothing good about it.
Right. That's why so many people say, well, you know, you life's a bitch and then you die, right? So let's party on, right? I mean, where does that lead you? It doesn't lead you anywhere good. Yet, there are still institutions that promote that.
So this is well to look into, because you need to understand that this is a lie, it's not the truth. And if you ever feel cursed, and I've heard people say it, oh, my life is cursed, or everything goes wrong, which is about the same thing, you got to shake yourself. That's not the truth. Falling into that Adam dream. And Linda, what did you write about on the forum about this
dream? The Adam dream, I don't think I ever heard it referred to outside of this church, or at least this way. And I realized that when we talked about trying to be humanly perfect, that was part of the Adam dream. That was people-pleasing, comparison, and I'm just grateful to be here to have practical ways to understand how to reflect God rather than trying to be a perfect person. That was very tiring, and I wasn't very good at it, but I'm sure I was real, can still be annoying when I do it. And I loved, there was actually a Carpenter quote that I loved that I put in here that I felt this church does. And it talks about that we're availing ourselves of the divine power in a practical way, and that this old conception of worship, when you go and glorify God and he has something you don't have, and we're getting rid of that you do have it all, and it's yours, and you can reflect it. But it's work and obedience. So that was very comforting. I love to see that it's being done here.
Thank you.
And there's a reason why it's really, really difficult to be humanly perfect.
Because it can't be done.
It's not possible.
Thank you. Exactly. It's a contradiction in terms. It's an oxymoron. There is no such thing. It's like I was just working on a lesson this morning and reading in Science and Health, when Mrs. Eddy says, material sense, and this is not a direct word, material sense is an absurdity. It's an absurd concept or something like that. Because it doesn't have any sense. Well, humanly perfect is an absurdity. Human can never be perfect.
Right. And that's true of human good, too. And nowhere else that I know of is this topic taken up as it is in Christian Science. And again, this was in unauthorized literature, most of it, so therefore if you didn't have these books, perhaps you wouldn't understand it. Someone said to me recently that, well, maybe humanly good is better than humanly bad, but is it?
I think it's more dangerous, because it's hate. It's still the human mind, and you still hate the Christ. And then you're getting yourself into all kinds of messes that you have to then get out of. I can just tell you, I lived there. I was humanly good, rescue, do everything, try to be perfect, and boy, is it hard to climb out of that. And then you're just, it's deception, because you think it's good, and when it's not, it's hidden evil.
Thank you very much.
And nowhere else are you going to hear that. Everywhere else is going to say, be good, be good, be good, be good.
Thank you very much. It's very true. It's hidden evil.
Wicked.
It's hiding behind this mask.
Hey, it might make you feel as though you arrived and you don't have to.
Right, that's a good.
Yes.
And you haven't begun yet.
Pardon me?
When you haven't begun yet.
You haven't even begun yet. Yes. And that's why Thich Nhat Hanh said that a humanly good person, I think it was Thich Nhat Hanh, is the hardest to heal.
Yep.
Because they fight for it, they think it's right, they go on and on and on. They can be corrected by a practitioner, and maybe they act like they're penitent and oh, so sorry and all of this, but secretly they're thinking, well, I'm not so bad, and I did, everything I did was really right, what's she complaining about? They don't get it. And I know, because I used to be that way, too. I was very humanly good. I really worked at it, but it was hiding a multitude of sins.
And it was impossible to live with.
It was.
It can be very unpleasant to have someone, I've experienced this, who's terribly humanly good and sort of goes overboard to be nice. And, I mean, it's very annoying.
And annoying is the word. Annoying. And it's a personal sense because the humanly good person thinks they're so good that they have to help everybody else. And if somebody needs something, you have to control it. There's no God in that.
And then when something comes in that's going to help you, looks bad because you're trying to measure it good. When you're getting rebuked or corrected or Mrs. Eddy, there's a thing in there, Carpenter points out, people thought she wasn't acting Christian because was Jesus being Christian when he overthrew all the tables and whipped everything and threw their money all over? Well, not according to human good. Just if you don't recognize when something helpful is there and you think it's bad because it doesn't have the definition of human good, and it's very dangerous.
Thank you. Very good. Very important. Because it's easy to get into that trap and just try so hard to be good. But only one is good, and it is God. And in a minute, I'm going to have Elizabeth read about reflection. But go ahead. I'm going to speak.
I don't remember if it was last week or the week before. I believe Florence was talking about the difference between trying and being, and trying is really, really hard, and being is easier and better. Being a reflection of God versus trying to be good.
Yeah, the tenseness of trying,
yeah. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
The word trying we don't use because it implies you're never achieving it. You're always just working really hard and trying rather than, yes, just being God's reflection. Go ahead, Mike.
I've had a very, very difficult time of transferring from the material to the spiritual. And finally it occurred. Well, I could sit here and argue for hours that I got you beat, but anyways, I won't do that. But one thing that helped me tremendously is thinking about computers. If my computer quits working, this happened before I knew anything about computers, you can take apart your computer and put it back together again 100 times and it's not going to change anything. But then if you take all the garbage that gets hidden in the computer, the viruses and spyware and that get into the program, and you clean that out, your computer works perfectly. So that's my analogy between the spiritual and the material.
Well, it's a good analogy. And when you are running smoothly, when you are being a reflection, yes, everything does run smoothly. But when you let all this erroneous stuff come in, then it clogs up the work, so you get rid of it.
When you download things, you shouldn't download.
Yeah. Looking at things you shouldn't be looking at or whatever.
And sometimes just turning off the whole darn thing, the computer, and just shut it off, pull the plug for a few minutes and put it back in. Amazing how that works.
All rebooting. You need to reboot
yourself. Yeah.
Get yourself, just wash away all that stuff you've been thinking about and clear it out, cleanse yourself, purify. This is why it's good to do it every day, every night before you go to bed. Keep yourself clear, a clear reflection.
but
can't curse a clean conscience.
That's it. Thank you. That's a good. Yep. So all of these things are part of an Adam dream. Human do-goody, human bad, old theology. And I'll tell you, there's nothing good about it. You know, sometimes I'll be talking to someone who's not a scientist, and they go into all this stuff that's going on. Well, it is a rabbit hole. You go down and down and down, deeper and deeper and deeper. Nothing is good about it, okay? You're not going to find it there. So quit looking in the wrong place. Waste. Look up. Look up above the mist. This whole thing started with a mist. Purity. Can't see clearly. And then you begin to think that some things are true that just aren't true. So keep your thought pure and cleanse. Keep your thought above the mist. So, okay, Elizabeth, would you read your forum?
Yes. Well, there are a lot of citations on reflection this week in the lesson, and I was reading Martha Wilcox's The Word Made Flesh, and in the beginning somewhat of the address, she has a section on reflection. It's titled, The Function of Man is Reflection, and it's wonderful. This is just a little bit, which I found helpful, but she says, quote, man, as the idea of mind, receives all that he is from the mind that constitutes him and gives back to that mind the facts of mind's own being. A reflection always does two things. It receives and it gives back what it receives. In this way, reflection establishes the divine mind to itself as a great fact or entity. Just as humanly, your idea of yourself gives back to you the fact or your own of your own being and establishes you to yourself as an entity. If we could only remember that I can of my own self do nothing, then we could better understand that we are a living conscious reflection. We should know the tremendous importance of our function and our divine purpose, that of being reflection. End quote.
Thank you. That's a beautiful explanation of that.
And that is our oneness with our Father, Mother, God.
So think about it. When you get up in the morning, remember your divine purpose is that of being reflection. In order to be a reflection, what must be done?
Well, you need to know what it is that you're going to reflect.
Absolutely.
There has to be clarity, too. You can't reflect when there's smudges and clouds and stuff like that. No. It has to be clear.
Thank you. That says you have to be a clear transparency.
Right.
To let the truth be reflected.
And you also have to be calm.
Most definitely. Kind of looking for that. You have to be calm. That's one I know I could always do better with. The minute you start running around or worrying.
Fretting.
The minute you get that feeling in the pit of your stomach, I'm now realizing that that's my cue, that that's mortal mind and animal magnetism, and do not listen to that.
Thank you. That's excellent. Absolutely. You know, you hear some bit of news or something, and all of a sudden you just start dashing around and get breathless and running here and there. How can you be a reflection if you're all tensed up? You cannot be.
We tell that story when Jesus heard that Lazarus had passed on. What did he do?
Wait 2 more days?
Yes, he waited. He did not say, I'm getting out of here, get out of my way, I got to get there. He went peacefully. Once you start rushing and all tensed up, you've lost it. So keep your peace. That's why we say peace be still.
Don't lose your poise. Yeah. Told often.
Yes. Poise is so important. A beautiful letter on poise by Kimball that we have on our website. Very important, your poise. You know, that's what you see when you see, well, almost anyone, and certainly in athletics. They don't lose their poise, do they? I mean, I'm always amazed at those ice skaters. They spin around and around and around. And they don't lose their balance, but much less their poise. But they're so focused,
and they're very centered.
Yeah. There's an inner steadiness I feel that they maintain throughout.
So as you go about your day, think of it. Your purpose is reflecting. Therefore, are you making that a priority? Are you in a listening state? An ear, a ready ear to the overture of angels, that he says. Many people become deaf because they're racing around and they're not listening to a thing except what's going on in their own head. Be true of all the senses. If you ignore them and just race around, pretty soon you can't feel, hear, think, speak, get too much of anything.
I like what she said, though, and she said you have to, a reflection gives back what it receives. So you have to practice that. You have to be, you can't just think of God as, you know, obedient. You have to be obedient. You have to do these things.
Thank you. You can't sit in your ivory chair and meditate all day long.
Just to be a clear reflection, because that would be the tendency. Well, if I just sit here all day, nothing will disturb me. That's very tempting. But
and I'll fill myself with all these beautiful thoughts.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And who cares about anybody else? Oops, I guess that doesn't work.
It's more beautiful to go out there, and when you're hearing the sirens, you can see that reflection and know that God is there. You can get a picture of that, which is beautiful.
Right. It is a sense of mindfulness, being aware of yourself in the present moment, what you're thinking, what you're doing. Are you expressing love?
Jesus spent 40 days in the wilderness communing with God. And then what did he do?
He faced the temptations, put them down one by one.
Yeah, and
he also went down
and met all the people, and he healed them.
So, well, anyway, I thought that was a very good point and one we should think about is your reflecting ability. Don't lose it. Treasure it. Value it. But, yes, it doesn't mean that you sit absolutely still all day long. But you learn to move amongst people and keep your reflection, keep your quiet, keep your stillness. That's the obedient part, because that means you kept your connection with God and you're listening to him every moment.
I read recently that you can't say none of these things move me until you go out and experience things.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Very good. So it is possible, and certainly you pray and have your quiet time in the morning, but not just so that's the only place to stay or go. Just that's your springboard, so to speak. Keep it with you. And in doing this, you will stay out of the Adam dream.
I like what Bruce said. Oh, sorry.
No, go ahead.
So I like what Bruce said in his post, that it is so true that man is not an originator, of thoughts, nor an independent creator of anything, because these thoughts that come constantly make you feel that they are your thoughts, the wrong thoughts, you know. And I think it's so important. I like the fact that he brought it out here. We are only the reflection of the divine mind. In truth, that's all we can be.
Yes. Do you want to say more to that?
Well, that's our safe ground to realize that we're a reflector, not willful, boastful creator of things.
Mm-hmm.
The glory all goes back to God. It's important to remember that.
Yeah, and if we do that again, we will keep ourselves out of that dream. The dream is always wanting to pull you into it, make you think it's real, get you all excited, and carry running about this way and that way. That's what you have to watch for.
This whole discussion we've had about being calm and poised has been very helpful. Tendency to get an idea and then dash with it. I've struggled with that many times. Whereas the whole idea is, if I'm being led, I'm going to be listening all the way, each step that I take. I have that poised listening concept as I'm going step to step, doing whatever it is I'm being led to do. The poise, you never lose it. You stop listening. You stop reflecting.
Kimball's article on poise, a long time ago I memorized self-knowledge, dominion, grandeur, repose, superb appreciation. He names those five qualities, and they're wonderful to work with, too, in his poise article.
Yeah, thank you. Remember, you're always thinking something. You're always thinking something, so think the thoughts of God, those ones that Bryce just listed, the true, the enduring, the good, and the true. Hold your thoughts steadfastly to those things, and you will bring them into your experience proportionably to the occupancy of your thought. Now, I thought Parthens, he wrote very interesting things here about the river, and starts off with science and health. Divide the atom into two syllables, and it reads a dam or obstruction. And then river, also science and health, is a channel of thought. Then he says, the book of Genesis tells of a great river that flows out of paradise, having four branches. For watching and prayer, it is profitable to study the characteristics of each branch as defined by Mrs. Eddy in the glossary chapter of science and health. I've always wanted to talk about these rivers, but somehow it's hard to wedge them in. So, okay, the first one, Carol Reed at Euphrates. Oh, sorry, you don't have it. Oh, Gary, you read it.
Okay, I'll read it. Euphrates, divine science encompassing the universe and man, the true idea of God, a type of the glory which is to come, metaphysics taking the place of physics, the reign of righteousness.
Okay, he asked the question, how each branch may be damned or liberated. Okay, so Euphrates, what does that mean to us, the definition of it? It's all, they're all in the glossary.
divine science encompassing the universe and then.
Yes, and how important it is that this keep flowing and that it encompasses every place, everything, all around, no one excluded.
It's sort of the ultimate, isn't it?
And what would try to damn that?
Materia medica.
Yeah. Trying to humanize it.
Yeah, because it says metaphysics taking the place of physics.
Yeah.
So, the fact that
anything that we try to humanize it or to materialize it.
Or make matter physics more important or more controlling mind than.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. To think that somehow divine science could be understood humanly. Or controlled humanly. Or interpreted humanly. Isn't that the problem with so-called church organizations? They catch a glimpse of the truth and then they try to control it humanly.
And false government in the world today trying to run the whole thing by the human mind.
Exactly.
Uh-huh. That pesky Adam dream, which people don't want to let go of. Even if you let them know about the Adam dream, sometimes they prefer to dream.
Yeah. They prefer to look to the human answers rather than to the metaphysical.
There are people who would prefer, who find it very difficult to yield their human thinking to God.
It's a fear of losing something, and actually you have so much more to gain by letting go of that dream.
You know, one thing I've always appreciated about Christian Science is that it doesn't get involved in, like, political debates and taking political stances on things and getting so immersed into the human mind confusion that some denominations do and some religions do, and I think it leads to all kinds of problems.
Right, because all of that is human. Christian Science should lift you up above it and give you dominion over it.
Because it's divine science. It's not human.
Exactly.
And I like what Parthen says, the glossary descriptions of these four mighty channels of thought can be likened to explosives. Indispensable for blasting through the dams of personal sense. The Adam dream is blasting through them. That is ever seeking to restrain their current, which must flow freely. The survival and health of civilization depend on the free flow of all these streams. Okay, so we did Euphrates, and another part of that is it's encompassing the whole universe and man. Everybody. That means that we don't say, well, this certain group of people here doesn't apply to. Everyone. Everywhere. Universal. All right, the second, Ian. The rights of woman acknowledged morally, civilly, and socially. Why is that? Why does that have to be blown apart, the right sense of it? Why is that so important?
Because in so many societies, it has such a dam there that needs to be blown apart.
Thank you.
So womanhood can be recognized.
Yes.
And revered.
And then Mrs. Betty's womanhood and what she brought forth will be more acknowledged because they'll
that's
be
right.
willing to accept
it. Thank you. That's it.
Yeah.
Yes. If they can't accept womanhood, they can't accept the science. And that goes, that happens. I know of people, men, you know, well, I can't believe a woman could have founded that religion. I mean, it seems strange in America today, but it still happens. And if it happens here, it sure as heck happens other places. Women must have their rights.
Or the false sense of women who compete with her and try to
yes.
take away from, like the whole,
our society seems to be advancing in that way.
Yes. And I think Mrs. Betty did much to advance it. But she broke through so many barriers when she was here.
She did. Absolutely. I mean, when you think about when she wrote all this, women still weren't allowed to own property. Women weren't allowed to vote. Wages. Yeah, I mean, this country was still in the dark ages at her when she was around.
She worked around it.
Well, she worked around it, but there was an attitude that needed to be blown away.
She had her son taken away from her also because she didn't have the authority to, you know, make decisions about that because of her sickness also.
Thank you. Yes.
It's wonderful in her biography when these people come out there after the next friend suit, they're coming to look her over because they figure she's very old and frail.
Right.
She just blew
them
away. She was a hostess, you know, in best form. It was just a wonderful picture of what went on.
Yes, but
I mean the motherhood that she represented, the love that she represented, healed some of these people. So it's such an important.
I think there's many ways of calling these things, giving them different names, but essentially, at the end of the day, it all comes down to slavery. If you don't give the rights to usually half of your population. I mean, that's a form of slavery.
Yes, it is.
That's all.
And, of course, Mrs. Eddy was a wonderful example of expressing all the qualities, the fatherhood and motherhood of God. But this idea of the motherhood, that part, getting stompled on and enslaved, it has been, has to be liberated. It is the bursting forth of a dam. And Mrs. Eddy certainly pioneered that way. And that is, as Fairley said, we've made great progress. Thank God for that. There's always more to be done. Anyone on that? I don't think we'll do all of it. Maybe someday we will have a Bible study on it. But it's all on your computers. You can all look at it and think about it and think what it means. It requires deep thinking. It's important to realize how important it is. So, anyone else on that? Suzanne, anyone?
Would you go back for Euphrates just for a minute? Revelation 16 says, "And the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared." And in Revelation 9, that's also touched on, Revelation 10 is the little book. So the answer to the dried up Euphrates looked to me like we've got the little book that opens the Euphrates again.
Wonderful. Mm-hmm. Good. And this is why we should have a Bible study, because I'm sure there's a lot of deep thoughts about this.
Yeah.
And it's more than just intellectual. It's something we need to understand. If it was just intellectual, then it wouldn't be worth doing, but we can understand it and appreciate. It'll be tremendous for the salvation of all mankind. Now, we're going to end now on Martha Wilcox's article, Deflection. Mrs. Eddy speaks about deflection in the lesson, and
deflection means to turn aside, to turn in the wrong direction. So, and Martha Wilcox wrote a chapter on it.
Deflection, according to Webster, means to turn aside or deviate from a true course. In Christian Science, deflection has reference to mortal man and to all that constitutes mortal man. Our textbook teaches that the untrue image of God held in the human mind is all there is to what we call mortal man. Then the correct sense of mortal man is not that of entity or existence, but is an untrue image or deflection of the actual man at hand. Deflection results when the true appearance of actual man is turned aside or deviated by thought passing through a mind unillumined by truth. This deviation of thought causes the actual man at hand to appear as sinning mortal man. The actual man is not changed, but his actuality is seen in reversion or as deflection. Actuality, the only thing that is at hand, does not need healing. It is God's very presence. Demonstration depends upon improved processes. The demonstration of Christian Science depends upon the degree we attain the Christ mind in us to see the actualities at hand, or the deflections or false conditions seem to be. The Christ within us does the healing. It is the spirit of truth and love within ourselves that heals. It is only as we are the Christ mind, or are sensibly living truth within ourselves as our own mind, that we can see the Christ or the actuality of anyone or anything. When Peter said to Jesus, "Thou art the Christ," Jesus immediately answered Peter, "Flesh and blood," meaning the personal mind, "hath not revealed it unto thee." It was the Christ in Peter that could see Jesus as the Christ.
So that's how we stay out of the Adam dream. We see beyond it, see what really is there, because nothing is here but God's presence and power. So, thank you all for joining us today.
Thank you.
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 Nice. Thank you.